Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. With me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Zach Stevens, our Broncos insider with DNVR Broncos. Zach, my friend, let's get to the important stuff from yesterday. What a beautiful atmosphere, basically just setting surrounding Demaryius Thomas, making that day what it was supposed to be about, and rightfully so, about Demaryius Thomas. You know, seeing all of the DT signs and jerseys and everything. It was a special atmosphere, man.
Yeah, Brady, it was really special, and the Broncos did a fantastic job. They had a great memorial outside. It was really cool. His memorial was right next to the Pat Bowlen statue, and Pat Bowlen's statue was overlooking the memorial. Thousands of fans stopped by to pay tribute to Demaryius before the game. Then, of course, you have Brandon McManus and some other players wearing some 88 Thomas jerseys while warming up. And then during the game, it was so cool what they did on that very first play to honor Demaryius by not having their number one receiver on the field, taking the penalty, and then having the 88 come up on the Jumbotron. And they did that multiple times throughout the game where they would throw the 88 up on the Jumbotron. Had a very, very nice and special video tribute to him. And then, of course, it was really cool to see, even when the game was going, he was still a part of it with the 88 on the field. And then after Justin Simmons got his interception, when a big play was made, the Broncos would run over, put the ball on the 88, and really honor him. And then, of course, after the game, Demaryius Thomas's family gets a game ball. And, I mean, just an incredibly, incredibly sad couple of days. And Demaryius, we can tell just how loved he was by people that knew him so well, by people that had never met him before, just how much of an impact he had on so many people's lives.
Yeah, no question. Everyone's talking about his great smile, but then you're also hearing people that were so close to him talk about just the kind of guy he was. I mean, just Twitter's really great with this kind of stuff, Zach, where you can read the players' thoughts and people that have had interactions with Demaryius Thomas. Even if it was just at a local restaurant in Denver, you get the same thing, the same vibe. I don't think I read one thing that said DT was not that great of a guy, even when he was alive. Nobody really had much many bad things to say about this guy, and certainly a special one, not just a player, but that's how we all know him, right? That's how we all connect to him. We love our Broncos, and when you get a guy like Demaryius Thomas do all the right things, and then of course something as tragic happens as it did, it's a tough one. But as you said, the Broncos did an amazing job of honoring DT.
Yeah, they really did. And speaking of Demaryius, and some of the coolest things that I saw this weekend was just how he interacted with kids. And now we knew that he had so many great things in the community where he would work with kids, and the Boys and Girls Club he was very close with. But just seeing all the interactions that he'd have with people's kids, whether it was Peyton Manning's kids or just someone, like you said, at a restaurant that's meeting him, just how well he connected with kids, that shows just how much of a caring person he was. And I talked to him the day before he was traded to the Texans and was talking about, you know, all everything. But I wanted to talk about the Tebow years with him. And one of the things that he just kept saying over and over again was how grateful he was to be in that position, to be on that run with them, to play with Tim Tebow. And I just thought, wow, this guy really does only look at the positives, because from a wide receiver standpoint, playing with Tim Tebow in a run-first offense is about the last thing that a typical wide receiver is grateful for. But it really just shined a light onto his smile and how he was always, always positive.
And he never looked frustrated either. A lot of wide receivers get known as being a diva and putting their hands up and telling, you know, everybody in the huddle, well, DT has to play. I mean, Georgia Tech, I mean, they're doing triple option stuff. So he's used to all that. And I thought one of the unique things with DT really to me was the fact that he did come up that way, that he was dealing with Kyle Orton for a second, with Tim Tebow. And then, of course, he gets Peyton Manning and he's like, wow. And then Manning, that's one of his favorite receivers of all time to go to. So I really like that story of Demaryius Thomas, is the fact that he kind of just went with the punches, man. He rolled with it all.
Yeah, he really did. And, I mean, going all the way back to when he was 11 and his mom went to jail and speaking of rolling with the punches, what an awful situation for him to be in. And for him to overcome that, then his playing career did kind of mirror that. And, boy, I think everyone felt so happy for Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, and the weapons the Broncos had when they got Peyton Manning, because it was like, okay, you've paid your dues. Now it's time to ball on the field. And so much, and rightfully so, these past couple of days has been focused on Demaryius Thomas as a person. But, man, the player he was just absolutely incredible. What he did in that four-year stretch when he had Peyton, over 100 catches, almost 1,500 yards, over 10 touchdowns per season. And then what he did after Peyton, too. He had pretty much two 1,000-yard seasons after Peyton when the Broncos were really struggling. This guy was, like Peyton Manning said, he was a Hall of Fame player and an even better person.
Yeah, no doubt. Well said, my friend. Zach Stevens joining us, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos and the Broncos get the win. You could certainly feel that emotion too, even just watching it from TV like I was. You could feel that emotion anytime they came up with big plays, and they came up with a lot of big plays. That's the formula, isn't it, Zach? I mean, run the ball ridiculously well and play elite defense, and you're gonna get into the playoffs if you can keep doing that.
You're 100% right, Brady. And you know what? That's something that I've seen a ton the past, 16 hours, is, oh my gosh, Teddy Bridgewater's terrible. This is such a concerning offense for the Broncos. How are they ever going to win? They need to get a new quarterback. Okay. Getting a new quarterback is something that they'll focus on this offseason. But you know what? The Broncos, since the bye week, Brady, they've found their formula to win on offense, and it's not Teddy Bridgewater. So get used to more 188 passing yard games. Get used to more non-explosive plays in the passing game. If you want this team to win, it's not going to happen on Teddy Bridgewater's arm. It's going to happen how we saw it happen yesterday. Melvin Gordon gets over 20 touches. Javonte Williams gets 15 touches. Melvin goes for 111 yards on the ground. Javonte adds another 77. Those guys get four combined touchdowns. Brady, we knew this was the formula for the Broncos all season, but it'd been so hit or miss in the first 10 games of the season. It never really felt like a formula. Everyone was questioning, is Pat Shurmur going to stick with running the ball? And you know what? These past three games since the bye, they've ran the ball more than they've passed the ball. And that right there is the Broncos formula for success. Teddy Bridgewater's dropped back an average of 27 times in these past three games, and the Broncos have run the ball an average of 34 times per game. You do not see that in today's NFL, and that's catching teams off guard. And when you have Melvin and Javonte, those two are working so well together that this is the Broncos' success, is run for nearly 200 yards per game and then play the really good defense that they are. And their only loss since the bye was against the Chiefs, and the Broncos' defense played a heck of a game. They held the Chiefs' offense to 13 points, really.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, they've been ridiculously good. I mean, take that Eagles game away, which was just an utter fiasco. This defense has been good, even going all the way back to that Browns game. The defense was making some plays. So I know that stopping the run was kind of difficult, but overall, defensively, they've been there. And the run game, as they kind of do during these last few games, it's going downhill. Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, you know the Broncos are arriving when... I'm an early riser, Zach. I watch Good Morning Football on NFL Network, and Kyle Brandt's like going nuts for Javonte Williams. It's about time a Bronco gets featured on some of these national shows.
Yeah, and the really cool thing about it, and credits to Kyle Brandt, is Javonte's not lighting up the stat sheet. When you look at NFL rushing leaders, he's not in the top because he's splitting carries
right with
another really good running back. And that just shows you both of these guys, Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. I truly believe it. I think they'd both be a top five rusher in the NFL right now if they were the true bell cow like these other top five rushers are. Instead, what they're doing is they're really helping their team. And, Brady, when you look at Javonte Williams, and I know everyone in Denver says, you know, get the ball more to Javonte Williams. Why? It's working right now, what they're doing. Now, I'm all for Javonte getting more touches, but it doesn't mean taking Melvin Gordon off the field. Get them both on the field more and run the ball for 39 times just like they did yesterday, because what you also have to remember, there is that rookie wall for a lot of rookies, and that would be right about now. But Javonte Williams also split carries his entire college career. He's not used to being a guy that's carrying the ball 25, 30 times. So he is in the perfect situation right now. And Melvin Gordon's doing a heck of a job. Javonte Williams is doing a heck of a job. And this offensive line is doing a heck of a job. And these are the five guys that Broncos need on the offensive line to finish out the season, because they are destroying it in the run game. And Quinn Meinertz, man, what a joy he is to watch. Speaking of guys that that Kyle Brandt's really high on, Quinn Meinertz is just, I mean, he's an angry run blocker on the offensive line. And, man, they're bringing that attitude that the Broncos need, and that's just a feast in the run game.
He has some hops, too. I saw in the tunnel. He's jumping up to give a high five. He's like, he's high in the air, man. He's an athlete.
Oh, he's an athlete, and, man, he's got the best workout videos you could ever imagine.
All right, man, let's look at this playoff, Ray. I'll get to rapid fire with you before we let you go, Zach. And it's going to be some of the same questions I've asked you already, but because this season has been so up and down, I think I have to keep asking, because I think the answers might change throughout the week, throughout the season. All right, the playoff race. Well, you got one team in front of you in the Bengals that you can control your destiny on quickly. I'm not looking at the Browns as much. I'm looking at the Chargers and the Colts. Boy, the Chargers could lose on Thursday. The Colts have a tough a couple of games in front of them. I think the Patriots and the Cardinals. So there's some tough matchups coming for the teams in front of Denver.
Yeah, it's great news for the Broncos. And you look at what happened this past week. Half the teams that the Broncos are competing with for those final wild card spots, half of them lost. So that was great news. And then you're absolutely right. Look at what's on the docket for these teams coming up. The Browns play the Raiders this week. If the Raiders lose, they're out of the playoffs. But if the Browns lose, then the Broncos will be able to jump them in the standings. So that's honestly kind of a win-win game for the Broncos. And then you said it with the Colts. I think the Colts and the Chargers are the two best teams that the Broncos are fighting with right now. But there are three open playoff spots in the wild card that the Broncos can get. So the Colts and the Chargers could make it, and the Broncos could also make it. But those are the three teams that I'm most worried about. You also have Pittsburgh in that mix. The Bills, actually, man, they are certainly going downhill with Sean McDermott not really understanding what's going on with his team, if you heard any of his press conferences the past couple of weeks. And so the Broncos are right there in it. And you know what? The good thing, and also the intimidating thing, is the Broncos' next three games are all against teams that are right there in it. The Broncos take care of business. They will absolutely be in the playoffs. They don't need help from anyone else, and that's the exact position they want to be in. And honestly, Brady, it's unfortunate to say, you hope that the Chiefs lock up not just the AFC West, but the number one seed in the NFL before that Week 18 game, so that they're not playing for anything, so that you get to play the Chiefs backup, so that you can finally beat the Chiefs and not only end the 12-game losing streak, but then you get that'll be the game to get you into the playoffs. So I know Broncos fans don't want to view it that way, but that's the best thing for this team right now, since they're realistically out of the AFC West division title.
Well, the Chiefs just seem like they are. This was my biggest fear, that the Chiefs would be clicking to that almost Super Bowl ready type caliber team right around the time the Broncos got them, and they look good on the defensive side, of course, but offensively they took a step back, then they ramped it back up against the Raiders. So I think this Chiefs team will keep rolling. So yeah, you're right. I think we just let's root for the easiest path right now, and that's for the Chargers to lose on Thursday and the Broncos to take care of business against the Bengals. Zach, I know you got to go in a bit. Are you ready for some rapid fire?
Let's hit them.
All right, let's do it, Michael. Rapid fire time.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
I have several questions.
Don't ask questions you aren't prepared to handle the answer to.
Okay. All right, Zach.
That is incredible.
Rapid fire time. Is Melvin Gordon a Bronco next year?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I'm going to say no. I think he gets paid somewhere else.
No. I think I've asked this five times. Is Vic Fangio the head coach for the Broncos next year?
Yeah, and I've been on the fence in the past, but this is a semi-confident yes.
Pat Shurmur, yes or no?
This is a not confident yes.
Okay, not confident yet. Russell Wilson, the next quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
Oh, man, that's the dream. I don't want to kill dreams, but there's going to be so many teams on him. I'm going to say no right now. And, you know, that's a conversation that we can have for another time when we have much longer. But you look at what other teams, specifically the New York Giants, can give up. It's more than the Broncos can offer.
Will, okay, do you regret the Broncos' decision to draft Patrick Surtain over Micah Parsons and Mac Jones?
Mac Jones, yes, absolutely. I mean, I think it's crazy if someone's going to say that there's a good quarterback out there that you passed on and you're willing to say that you don't want him now. No, that's just silly. Micah Parsons, you know what? Give me a shutdown corner before an interior. I guess he's really an everything linebacker, but I think you wouldn't have been wrong either way.
I think you're right. Man, imagine them on the same team. I know that's where my brain goes. Why couldn't they have just got them both, Zach? They could have found a way.
Right.
Last string here for you. I'm just going to ask, do they beat the Bengals?
Yes, I think so. I'm buying into this team, and it's taken me, you know, 13 weeks into the season, but Brady, I like what I'm seeing, man.
Do they beat the Raiders in Las Vegas?
Oh, man, that's been such a tough place. But the Raiders are really falling apart. I'm going to say yes.
Do they beat the Chargers in L.A.?
Man, that's going to be the toughest one. I'm going to say no.
Oh, so they go 2-1. But if the Chiefs are done and not playing for anything, then here's my question. And I'm asking you to really look into the crystal ball. Do they beat the Chiefs on January 9th?
They do. They do. With that huge apostrophe there on if the Chiefs have everything locked up, the Broncos beat them, and Brady, there you go. There's the 3-1. There's the 4-1 if you include yesterday, and there is the Broncos making the playoffs.
Wow. How about that, Zach? My friend, I'm happy to say you survived rapid fire. Well done again, and we appreciate you. We'll talk to you later this week, my friend.
Right on, Brady. I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
All right, Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, 3-1. Okay. All right. He's got the Chiefs. He's got them beating the Chiefs. If, of course, the Chiefs are playing for nothing on that final game of the season, which I suppose is what we should be rooting for. 40 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.